Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Travelling around the world getting local musicians to reinterpret some Kiwi classics while spreading the word about the Down Under sound might seem like a pretty good way to earn a living. But according to Nick Dwyer, the host of C4's Making Tracks, it's bloody hard work. The second and latest series of the show, which premieres on Tuesday night, sees our intrepid workaholic visiting 12 countries in as many weeks. Nick Dwyer joins us now and has 10 minutes to convince me that it isn't really as much fun as he makes it look. Now, look, I've spoken to you a number of times. We're friends and we go back away. Over the last few months while you've been doing this, I'm so tired. He says, it's really hard work. And I constantly remind you about the person who has to screw toothpaste tubes on, you know, the tops on the toothpaste tubes.
I know. It's terrible. I know I sound like a complaining bastard at the best of times. But look, it is without a doubt. Don't get me wrong. It is the most incredible job I could ever. It's my dream job. You know, it's everything I've ever dreamed of doing. And every single day I wake up and think I'm the luckiest person. But it is hard work. It really is. I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, you're so lucky. It's, you know, you get to go on these amazing holidays. And literally, we're doing sometimes 20-hour days. I just remember, like, you know, one story I can tell you is, like, you know, in Ghana having to take malaria tablets, and just basically by the end of, after Ghana, we were in Beirut, and I was just so rotten, puking and pooing. At the same time, I remember I was interviewing this young Arabic rapper, female rapper called Malika, and in between, like, camera setup changes, I'd have to run to the toilet, and basically I was holding it back the whole time. And it was, so you have moments like that where health gets thrown out the window. But look, yes, I've just been trying to talk it down, Damien, the whole time I've seen you. It is the best job in the world.
I imagine that there's a lot of preparation goes into it, though, because when you get to those countries, you're not just shooting a travel show. Are you? You're doing a lot of really complex things.
Yeah, it's a lot of preparation, and I think even before we kind of pitch for funding or anything, I've literally spent maybe 3 or 4 months locking down the countries that we'll go to, and, you know, justifying the reasons why we're going to said destination, and also talking to artists then. So, you know, literally, I mean, we got the green light on funding, I think, December last year, but I'd probably spent maybe about 4 or 5 months beforehand. And what it involves, obviously, with our time zone is a lot of phone calls to Ghana and shouting over Skype at all hours of the morning. But, you know, it's all part of it, and it's a lot of fun.
I just wanted to take issue with something Russell said. I think your director, Dean Cornish, who also works on Intrepid Journeys, might take issue with the idea that making a travel show is somehow easier and doesn't require any preparation in advance, Russell.
Yeah. Well, Dean has to work with talent, doesn't he?
Thanks, Russell.
So, but I mean, the places that you went to, I mean, this time around, I mean, just rattle off the countries.
So it was Buenos Aires and Trinidad and Tobago, Ghana, Beirut in Lebanon, of course, Tokyo, London, Paris, and Kiev. So, yeah, a very mixed bag. What we've tried to do with this series is, whereas the first series, it was definitely maybe more far-flung destinations than what people are used to seeing on the television here in New Zealand. So we've got a couple of, you know, got London in there, we've got Paris in there, we've got Tokyo, so countries that are more familiar and, I guess, have very, very evolved music scenes and infamous music scenes, but mixed up with, you know, places like Kiev in the Ukraine, which is just such an anomaly for a lot of us, places like Accra and Ghana, and then just crazy wild places that are just alive with music, like Trinidad and Buenos Aires.
The music, the songs you're asking people to cover is a little bit more towards the mainstream this time, isn't it?
Definitely. I think we obviously the aim with the series was to, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm really, really proud of the first series, but the first series we were, you know, it was our first shot at making a full-blown series, and you know, it was an experiment, and it was an experiment that I'm really proud of, but we definitely, you know, we wanted to improve the new series. That's why it's now a half-hour format. You know, I'll be the first to admit that there was a lot of, you know, there's a bit of dead weight in there, you know, a couple of moments where even myself watching back, I'm just like, oh, come on, Nick, do you really need to ask that question? Look, just hurry up. So it's now a half-hour. It's definitely, you know, the focus is very much on the cover, but, you know, along the journey of the cover, before the end of the show, you meet with various, you know, historical acts and big name acts that really give an amazing context to the country. So you, so I think you get the same sense of the country which you did in the first series and within the hour. But yeah, it's tighter, it's snappier, it's action packed, and yeah, hopefully people are more. And sorry to answer your question, Russell. Yes, definitely more of an emphasis on picking more well known tracks this time around.
They're obviously not well known overseas though. And I mean, we there's only probably one song that any, or two songs maybe, How Bizarre and Don't Dream It's Over, that people genuinely know.
There was the Stereogram song, wasn't there?
Exactly. Oh, okay. You'd be surprised. Walkie Talkie Man, the band knew it. It was huge in Japan. Like, I remember the first time we actually, myself and James Anderson, shot a TV show for C4, and we shot in Japan. Literally, we got off the plane, we went out, you know, we were like, oh my God, we're in Japan for the first time. We went out to go to get some food, and the first thing we heard as we got out of the hotel was Walkie Talkie Man on an iPhone ad.
Yeah.
iPod ad. As we walked out onto the street, it was crazy. And yeah, these guys were like, yeah, the song was a big hit in Japan. So they were really stoked to get involved in the cover. And what's, you know, the band in Japan, for example, Soil and Pimp Sessions, they're huge, really successful. Same thing with the band that we've chosen in Paris, Amadou and Mariam. And they were like, you know what, these songs are so good. We know these songs. We love these songs. Yeah, we'll make time in our schedule. So that was quite interesting to have that happen.
This time around, I know that there was a lot of work getting the show off the ground. Obviously, it's not cheap to do this sort of thing at the moment. Funding's quite hard to find. You spend a lot of months where it didn't look like the show was going to be made. Yeah. But you've ended up, I understand, as well as being on C4, it's also going to be played on National Geographic. Internationally.
Yes.
How does that work when it's essentially a very much a New Zealand show about New Zealand music? How does that work?
It's really bizarre, man. I still don't quite get it. I sent them a copy of the first series just because I had these ridiculous, grandiose notions of maybe one day being a presenter on National Geographic. And I sent them a copy of the series, and they turned around and said, look, this is one of the best music shows we've ever seen. We want to buy it. And I was like, what do you mean? It's got like, I'm Kiwi and I've got a Kiwi accent and I'm talking about Kiwi music a lot. And they're like, no, it's great. We get to learn about foreign cultures, but we also get insight into New Zealand culture. We get more bang for our buck. Sadly, because of the nature of music licenses, I mean, we had everything in there from like The Girl from Ipanema, replayed by a friend of mine, which maybe under international scrutiny could have been a little bit strange. Sepultura to everything, you know, Yellow Man. We there was no way we could. It would have cost literally four times as much as the show cost to make to clear the first one. So I said to them, look, would you be keen on putting that money? And by no means, it's acquisition money. It's not like they've gone, hey, here's heaps of production funding money, into a second series. And they never buy stuff without seeing it first. But they were like, look, we really like what you've done. So yeah, that was added to this pot, this pretty giant pot of monies that was needed, and helped make the show happen. So now it plays all over the world.
In terms of doing it on a budget, I'm quite intrigued by the camera you took with you.
Yeah.
The new Canon digital still camera that an episode of House was shot on the last series.
So it looks like a normal pointy camera.
Yeah. Look, so one thing, the first series was very much, I mean, I had this history of working with James Anderson from Two Heads. And the first series was very much myself and James shooting. And this series, James has had various other projects to work on. So he stepped back, and now we've got Warren Green is shooting. And Warren is incredible. It's the Canon 5D, but it shoots the most amazing moving image. And it's the only problem with it that I think is going to be sorted soon is sound. So it's no good for recording sound. So we have an HVX, and we also have the Canon 5D, and Warren's got an amazing set of lenses. But yeah, just being able to kind of shoot the music videos that you see at the end of the show, they actually look like proper music videos now.
They do. I'm struck by that, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few of them sort of, you know, sneakily out the back of your director's house, and I can also concur, they look fantastic.
Yeah.
Look, just finally, I've heard some stories, some danger in Ghana. you left your director behind hostage, basically, in order to be able to get out of a hotel and get out of the airport in time. He stayed on.
It was freaky. It was actually really freaky.
Any other stories that come to mind? Anecdotes?
That one definitely takes the cake. I mean, there's a couple of stories, but I'm not going to repeat them in case mum's listening.
Fill in the blanks with the Ghana one then.
Yeah, basically it was our last day in Ghana, and you know, usual kind of last day of trying to film every shot you can, running late to go to the airport. And it was a crazy Togolese, like, you know, all the Ghanaian people are awesome. This guy was from Togo. We don't like the guys from Togo, but he went crazy, and his machine wasn't working. Visa machine wasn't working, and he got it into his head that we were white devils and we were trying to rip him off. And
this is when you were checking out of the hotel.
On this kind of crazy, started getting on this big colonialist thing, you white devils, you come here, we're like, dude, we want to pay you. His machine wasn't even plugged in. I was like, bro, your machine's not even plugged in. And he's like, leave my machine alone. And he would not let us leave. And we're like looking at our watches going, oh my God, we need to get on this flight now. And he basically got a truck and parked it across the yard. So we literally were blocked in. It was got that intense and he was shouting and his security came in and myself, Warren and Clayton managed to get out while Dean had to bear the brunt of him. And Dean was then made to go and get all the cash out. But then he just called the cops straight away and Dean was going to get basically locked up and put in a jail. And luckily for us, our fixer, who's a Ghanaian from New Zealand, he's in this band called Zozo, he was over there helping us out. He knew one of the guys, from the policeman from school. And they're like, hey, yo, how you doing? He's like, hey, I'm Masuda. And they're like, what's going on? What trouble are you in now? And they're like, no, this, you know, my friend from New Zealand, he's cool. This guy's crazy. And luckily, if it wasn't for that, Dean would have had a very, very unhappy adventure in an Accra jail.
Well, I can confirm that I've had a beer with Dean Corner since he did make it back safe and sound. No thanks to you and your troublesome ways. Nick Dwyer, thank you so much. Look,
thanks, guys.
Making Tracks premieres on C4 on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. I encourage you all to watch. That's all we've got time for on the show today. If there's something you missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you. New Zealand on the air.